Blog Talk Radio.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. No one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Hallelujah, and good evening, everyone. It's your sister, it's your girl, Apostle, a.k.a. Bishop Shalene Cook, and I'm once again blessed to be here on tonight to welcome you to Every Man Standing in His Place for this Friday, April the 1st, 2022. And tonight, our anointed servant leader that will be coming and bringing us a mighty word is none other than my little brother, Kelly, Reverend Kelly Mark Jones. But before we get into that, I just want to thank all the Spirit Alive clergy, all the Spirit Alive family that is present here on tonight. So my brothers and my sisters, get something to write with and to write on and retrieve your Bibles. Hallelujah, because he preaches from the word, precept upon precept. And prepare to receive a rhema word from my brother, my friend, my co-laborer, Reverend Kelly Mark Jones. Amen.
Amen, amen. Good evening. Am I coming through okay?
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, excellent. So first of all, my name is Reverend Kelly Jones. I am representing his gospel Christian Fellowship here in Oakland, California, and also as a member of No Bounds Ministries and under the bishopship of my wonderful big sister, Bishop Shirlene Cook. So, you know, today there's a special message that's been in my heart, and I've shared this message previously, but I just thought it would be a really good time to bring this back today. So I just want to just bless you all with what God has given me, and I'm looking so forward to sharing this message with you. Thank you for joining us. Amen, amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's go into a bit of a prayer before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for opening our eyes. Thank you for opening our hearts. Thank you for pouring your word down into us, Father. Thank you for constantly communicating with us of your love and of your promises and of your faithfulness to us, Father. We are but sinners, Father, but yet and still you chose to love us. You chose to die for us, Father, and you chose to welcome us back with open arms, Father, promising us salvation if we would but believe on your holy name. And we just love you right now, Lord. We thank you. We pray right now that, Father, that no word would be preached that is not allowed by you. I pray, Father, that you would remove anything in me that is not like you as I am being prepared to be a vessel for your use, Father. I pray that you would cleanse me, Father. I pray that the preacher and the teacher and the Holy Spirit would come forth, Father. I pray that I'm allowed to minimize myself, Father, so that I can maximize your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would be the evangelist right now, Father. In Jesus' name, we all said amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
All right. So today's message is titled Kings and Princes. Kings and Princes. And our main scripture, just to put everybody on the same page, literally, the main scripture comes from Proverbs 14:28. Now, it doesn't matter which version that you're going to read it in, because I'm going to go over quite a few, I think. But for starters, I'm going to go with the New Living Translation. I'll give you a minute or two. Proverbs 14, verse 28. That's Proverbs 14, verse 28. Okay? And the verse reads like this. It says, "A growing population is a king's glory. A prince without subjects has nothing." Again, a growing population is a king's glory. A prince without subjects has nothing. And let's get a little bit closer. I'm going to go to it my favorite is the Berean Study Bible. It is very historical in its stature, and it says a large population is a king's splendor, but a lack of subjects is a prince's ruin. Right? A large population is a king's splendor, but a lack of subjects is a king's ruin. Now, it seems lately we're talking about princes and kings. You know, it seems lately there's no shortage of stuff on television, shows that we've become acquainted with, especially here in America, having to do with royalty. You may be in a country where royalty presides over the government in one form or another. And we have all kinds of varieties of these royal families. We have, those from Europe, the American aristocracy, as we call it, and which isn't really a royal family, so to speak, but those who are prominent in politics and have been for many, many years. We even have the Vikings now and, you know, these Viking shows on television. And, of course, you know, that had that famous Motherlode, you know, the place where we see royalty the most often and have been seeing it for many, many years, Disney. Disney. Okay. I mean, you never really stop to think about it, but we're conditioned to be attracted to this stuff from a very young age. Now, don't get me wrong. I like Disney as much as the next person. But the question is, how many princesses does Disney actually have anyway? I mean, it's like they all sit around and they say, we need to make a new movie. And so check this out. There's this princess, right? Right. And it's like basically they start all of their movies out that way in one way or another. So, you know, lately I have to tell on myself, you know, there are certain, you know, things and fictions about royal families that I sort of enjoy myself. But the question is, what is our fixation? What is our fixation with royalty? You know, the desire to rule with power comes somewhat naturally to people. Nobody's ever really stopped to figure out why. Why do people feel comfortable in a situation where they have power and control? Why do they seek it? Why is that something that is in our hearts to want, that is in our hearts to desire? What is that about? Well, I mean, it kind of got there naturally because, you know, God did command us to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the earth and to what? Rule it or govern it. And these are the things that we still have those tendencies to want to do as a result of that. We want to operate in the same way that we have been since we were created, which is we need something to rule. And God gave us the earth to do exactly that. He said, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. So that seems all well and good, but when Adam and Eve fell into sin, okay, the desire to be worshipped replaced our desire to worship God. Okay? I'm going to say that again. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, the desire to be worshipped replaced our desire to worship God. Okay? And this effectively twisted something that God meant for good, and it perverted its true purpose. And to this day, we still have that desire to rule and to have control, but we apply it in the wrong way. We think it's all about us. So this is what our main scripture is talking about in a way, and we're going to get there if you just hang with me. Okay, so our main scripture speaks to it by drawing a contrast between a king and a prince. Let's go back to that again. This time I'm going to read it in the King James. I love that. Let's read it in the King James. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. The want signifying is something he doesn't have. Okay? So look at the, let's go back to where these proverbs are coming from. So since Solomon in many cases was writing with his son in mind, I was inspired to go a little higher up the family tree, and I looked at Solomon's father David. Right? This is where the picture starts to develop. Okay, before I get into that, let me start by saying that the reason why this obsession with royalty is dangerous on any scale is because no matter how many good examples there are, the people who aspire to have positions of authority often choose the absolute worst examples to model or to emulate. Okay, people are coming into a position of authority and power, and they pick the worst example of their of their country's past, or their, you know, the hard edge or the hard line. They want to imitate those people because they think that that will help them to stay in power longer. They're not caring about what kind of regent or king or queen or prince or princess they are. They are more concerned about staying in power longer. They don't care whether or not they're good at it. They just want to be there and stay there. Okay? So that's one of the reasons why they choose to pick the worst examples that there are. Okay? And whether it's out of spite or ego, the effect is the same. The people, the subjects, they suffer. Okay? Now, such is the case with David. You guys all remember King David, right? So such is the case with King David. One of his other sons, Absalom, right? Absalom, during his reign, David provided a lot of bad examples for Absalom. Okay? Absalom saw this, and whether it was because of spite or ego or vengeance, right? The young prince sought to overthrow his father. There is a myriad of reasons why this all came to be. Okay, and you know, the broadcast is short, so we can't get into them all. But there are several reasons, several things that drove Absalom to want to overthrow his father. Okay, the king in our main verse has a growing population. And the people are prospering, right? As the verse says, a large population is the king's glory. He's happy because that's what makes him, that's what proves that he's a good king. The king's heart is for the growth of his people. The prince, however, is not yet king. The prince, in the B part of the verse, is not the king, yet he desires what he believes the king makes the king glorious, which is followers. He desires to have people following him because he thinks that that's what makes a good king. No, the king is the one who's making the sacrifice. The king is the one who's making the decisions to prosper the people, to bring about their health and welfare. The prince, all the prince gets to see is that the king has people following him. Okay? So if you're looking at that the way that we're seeing this right now, the Bible makes the distinction between the king and the prince in a way that suggests immaturity or a lack of knowledge and experience necessary to rule effectively. See, here's the thing. Princes have some authority, but no kingdom unless the king dies or is overthrown by mustering support for an heir. Right? I think we're all on the same page right about now. So we see that the prince, in his immaturity and lack of knowledge and experience, does not know how to rule effectively. And it might as well be because he's not the king. Okay? As for Absalom's case, his spiteful and ambitious actions eventually led to his death. Now, he seems to exemplify John's words, okay, in John 12:43. Okay, we're going to go to John 12:43. And this is where he said, this is what I think of when I think of the prince. John 12:43 says, "For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." Right? And the reason why I can say that with confidence is because of the fact that the prince has not accepted his current station as God has given it to him. There's the eventuality that he will become a king one day. But he's not thinking of that. He's thinking of ruling now. He's thinking of being in charge and having people follow him now. And he wants the glory from the people and cannot accept the fact that God has placed him in a position where he must learn first before he takes control. Okay? Such is often the case when people get a taste of power. He's just one example, okay? Just look at what's going on all over the world right now. How about Putin? How about Russia? If you're looking at Russia right now, he's a prince. He's not a king. He's a prince. It's where we get the root word in principalities, meaning one who's over a certain area or has power in a particular position. But at the end of the day, we have to remember that the government of all government is on the shoulders of our Lord. Okay? So basically what you have when you have a dictator in charge is you have a prince of this world. Okay? Which brings me to point two, princes and kings of this world. You're looking at a prince of this world, and that's a perfect example. I don't care how old you are. This is not your planet. This is not your country. You do not own the soil. You are a leader, true, but you're not a king. There's only one king. Amen? There's only one king. And it just goes to show you that they expose themselves for who they really are because they let their desires be known, right? See, what they really desire is attention. Look at me. Wealth, power, adulation. It's all about me. They want to be worshipped. They want people to cower in fear before them because they have power. And the one power that they are usurping when you get to that level of princeship is the power of life and death. Well, if you call yourself my enemy, I will kill you. That is the very essence of trying to be God, trying to be king. That is the very essence, the power of life and death in saying that I can decide who lives, I decide who dies. That is trying to be God. Okay? And who embodies that more than earthly royalty? Okay? Now, don't let the titles fool you because in the end, it's all the same. You could be the president of a country. You could be a CEO with a corner office. You could be a police officer with a badge. You can be a rock star or a music star of some type. All have the potential to go very, very wrong without acknowledging that only God is the true king. Right? All the rest are just ambitious princes and princesses who want to be kings and queens. And most of them, like we said earlier, are following the worst examples available because they think that is what will keep them in power longer. Amen? Amen. So Paul makes a point of differentiating between the kingdom of God in the kingdom of men. See, we're talking about princes and kings of this world. Here's what separates the two. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And the text reads, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." You see how he points out the maturity, the level of maturity there? And remember, when we're talking about rulers of this age, or when you see rulers of this age, that translates into princes of this world. Okay? That's what it translates into. In other versions, it says princes of this world, rulers of this age. Okay? So from there, he makes the distinction between the wisdom of God and of man by mentioning the wisdom of the rulers of this world, or the rulers of this age. So same thing in verse 8. We've seen it in two places. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Paul mentions the princes of this world being the ones who crucified Christ. Okay? Paul mentions the princes of this world as being the ones who crucified Christ. Now, remember, that's not just Caesar. Okay? That's not just Caesar. He's also talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, okay? And what I'm saying here is that the church is no exception. The church is also full of princes of this world because they have a lot of the same desires. They have a lot of the same attitudes towards their congregations and the people that they stand over and the power that they hold. And they say they had the same desire to rule. They had the same ambition. They had the same desire to be loved and worshipped. And the same issue with idolizing people and following the worst examples possible. Yes, this happens right within our very own church, and we see it all the time. If you look very carefully, and sometimes you don't even have to look that hard, people talking about, I need a new jet. Walking around dressing like peacocks and preaching more about tithing than salvation. Everyone in line behind them jockeying for position. Okay? Everyone in line behind them jockeying for position in the church. And the Lord was directly addressing this in Matthew 23. He starts in on it in verse 5, talking about how they would wear their extra wide prayer boxes. Okay? We're talking about our scribes and our Pharisees and how they dressed and their robes with the extra long tassels. Okay? And they get the best seats in the house at dinner and at the temple. Right? And see, the way he answered that was in verse 8 when he says, you know, don't let anybody call you rabbi, for you have only one teacher, and all of you are equal as brothers. All of you. Now, we're not just talking about people who are in the clergy. We're talking about everybody. All of you are as equal as brothers and sisters. And don't address anyone here on earth as father. Specifically, it says that. Don't address anyone here on earth as father, for only God in heaven is your father. Okay, we still talk about clergy here. And don't let anyone call you teacher, for you have only one teacher, the Messiah. The greatest among you must be a servant, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, I think some of us out there are reading that part wrong, okay, because it says be a servant, not be served, okay?
Yes.
It says be a servant, not be served.
Amen.
It doesn't say have a servant either. Okay? It doesn't say to have a servant either. It also begs the question, right? Why should we call anyone else king if this is the case? If we can't call you father, if we can't be called teacher, if we can't be called rabbi, why should anyone call us king? Why should that be something we desire? Okay, just food for thought. So, you know, since we've seen what not to do, where's our best example possible instead of the worst? Of course, there's no better example than Christ himself because he's a prince of peace. See, there's a prince that you can emulate. As it says in Isaiah 9:6, Jesus followed the best example possible. He's called a prince of peace in Isaiah 9:6. Philippians 2:6 says this, and this is the part that I really love, talking about the best example and talking about why should we call anyone else king. Here it is right here. Philippians 2:6 says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Why do we? Why do we? Sin, that's why. Sin makes us want to be equal with God. But Jesus himself, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. But that's precisely what the world wants you to do. See, we don't need titles. We don't need to be overly concerned with our social standing like in all of the shows that we see on TV. We are children of God. And while I understand that that makes us royalty, let's not cling to that in the wrong way. Being a child of God, it means that we have this semblance. We understand what royalty means, but we have to remember, in the kingdom of God, there is only one true king. None of us are going to unseat God from his throne. Why should we try to pretend to be kings here? None of us is going to unseat God. None of us is going to overthrow him. None of us is going to take his place. We should always aspire to serve rather than to rule. And in the end, when he welcomes us home, here's where the rubber meets the road. When you stand before the Lord, he's not going to say, well done, my good and faithful prince. He's not going to say, well done, my good and faithful princess or king or queen or czar or Caesar or, you know, whatever title of royalty there is where you are. He's not going to say that. He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Servant. The word is servant. The greatest among you shall be his servant. Amen? We have to be a servant. We have to have a servant's mind. We have to have a heart of a servant. We have to care and love our brothers and sisters in ways that the world is trying to encourage us not to do on a daily basis. We live in an upside-down kingdom. This is not the examples that we're supposed to be emulating right here. What we're supposed to be emulating is Jesus Christ himself, who, being equal with God, did not think equality with God was something to cling to. We have to go about it this way. This is the example that we were left. But yet and still, the moment we turn our backs from that mirror in the bathroom and we go out into that world, we're seeking more. We're seeking higher. We're seeking further, faster, stronger. We have to elevate ourselves. When the truth of the matter is, you're a child of God. You don't need elevation. You don't need it. And if you are to be elevated, elevate someone else and let someone else elevate you. Okay? That is how the kingdom is designed. It's not designed to step on someone else's head to get a little bit more elevation. It is designed so that we lift our brothers and sisters up to have a saving knowledge of Christ. This is where our hearts should be. Because if not, what we get is what we see all around the world. Africa, we know. We know what you're going through right now. We see the conflicts. We're aware of what you're seeing. Russia and Ukraine, we see what's happening with you. We understand. And it's because of this reason right here, because we're seeking as a people to elevate ourselves up and above God's station. We're not trying to be servants. We're too busy trying to be rulers. So we just want to take a pause on that. Let's try to hear from God about that. Let's try to hear from the Holy Spirit to change our hearts and minds to look at our neighbors with love and say to ourselves in our hearts, let the Holy Spirit talk to us and say, how can we help him today? How can we help her today? How can we elevate the person next to us instead of the person in the mirror?
All right.
How can we do that? Amen? Amen.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. So my question to you is, are you ready to be a prince or a princess? Are you ready to not be a king or queen today? And even in our culture in America, we put so much on that, though we have no royalty. Everybody's a king. Everybody's a queen. No, they're not. I want to be a prince. But you know what? I want to be a prince like Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a prince like the world says. I want to be a prince like Jesus. I want to be a servant. But if you don't have that heart, if you don't have that mind, if you're too busy right now still trying to be a king or a queen, I want to invite you right now to be a prince or a princess in the eyes of Jesus. I want to invite you right now to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about being a servant in order to be able to speak to you about allowing the Lord to be God. Because he's going to be God anyway. The question is, do you accept? The question is, have you had that talk with God about where you are versus where he wants you to be? The question is, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? The question that's being posed to you right now is, where do you want to spend eternity? Do you want to spend eternity where every person that is next to you is too busy suffering to think about leading anything? Or do you want to be spending eternity with the Almighty God, the Alpha, the Omega? There's none like him. He's God all by himself. Do you want to spend eternity with God as a princess? So I ask you right now, if you haven't said that, I'm going to, you know, just place your hand over your heart right now and just lift your eyes to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been so busy trying to be a king or a queen of my own domain that I haven't paid attention. I haven't been serving. I haven't bowed my heart before you to acknowledge that you are God. But I'm ready right now, Lord. I'm ready right now to receive you. I'm ready right now, Father God, to allow you to lead my life. I'm ready right now, Lord, to serve before you. I accept your leadership. I accept you as God all by yourself. I accept the sacrifice of your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross in order that by his blood my sins might be forgiven and that I might be welcomed into eternal life. I accept all of your wonderful gifts. I accept the Holy Spirit to come into my life and begin to make change. I accept you, Father, and I serve you from this day forward. Amen, amen,
amen.
And if you said that prayer, if you said that prayer, I want to welcome you to the family of God. I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God where we can serve and know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are where we're supposed to be, in the place that we're supposed to be, and that we're serving the people the way God wants us to. May God add his blessing to each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, and glory to God. What an awesome word we have heard on tonight. Hallelujah. Now, if you are sitting in our studio and you would just like to put a praise on that, you would like to encourage the man of God, because even servant leaders need encouragement, I would like for you to press your 1, and I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your name. Of your phone number. Lord, I'm still caught up in the word. And if you're in the chat rooms, you may start typing your comments, and I will relay them to Reverend Jones. Hallelujah, as you type them. But as always, I have to acknowledge every servant leader from the Spirit Alive family, and we do have in the studio with us tonight another mighty man of God, and you will be hearing him on next week, and that is Pastor Jeffrey Scott. So, Pastor Jeffrey, I want to allow you to come on in the room and have a word.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, my brother, how are you?
I'm doing well, especially after that word.
Amen.
That was a powerful, powerful word that put that really put things in perspective, in the right perspective, and it put things in the order of which God called it to be, and that is a great thing, you know. And we look at all of this stuff about wanting to be kings and wanting to be at this high echelon and all of this kind of stuff, but we also have to look at when the word of God says that pride goes before destruction,
and
also haughty spirit before a fall. And we got to understand.
Indeed,
that
come
God
on now.
Is the only one that's up there. God is the only one that's up there. That we are
come
not
on.
Kings. We are supposed to be who God called us to be. And God didn't, you know, we can go around saying, hey, you know how people do nowadays. Well, hey, what's up, King? You know, and all of this kind of stuff. But the thing is that God is the only king, you know, and we have
Amen.
To acknowledge him for, it says, you know, in all thy ways, acknowledge him.
Him.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You know, when you were talking about that, you know, that John 12 and 43, you know, when it,
yes.
it, it
yes.
talks, so that men love like the praise of man.
That comes from the world rather than the praise that comes from God.
Yes, come on now. Come on, man of God.
How can we actually just look at ourselves and say, I want people to look at me more than I want God to look at me?
Lord, have mercy.
God is the one who created me. God is the one who
called me. Have mercy, Jesus.
Leads me. God is the one who directs me. I'm supposed to follow him. But I'm trying
Come on.
To go and be all of this for somebody
Come
I'm
on.
Supposed to not show who I am, but I'm supposed to show who
yes,
God is.
Lord Jesus.
Like, you know, and I mean,
Y'all
you know,
good tonight. Mm-hmm.
Before the fall, you know, and I mean, I'm just, you know, that the perspective that you put it in, the perspective that you that God has you to put it in. It just enlightened me even more, so to the point where I have to, you know, I have another way of spreading the gospel.
Yeah.
When it comes to pride now, and anybody
Come
that
on.
Was listening, anybody that heard this should have a new way to share the gospel in a way that shows that God is. King of Kings. God is.
Yes, he
is.
He is.
God, and
mm-hmm.
we are his children.
Yes.
And we have to do what he's called.
Come on,
us
brothers.
To do. You know, when we try, and you know, it talks about even trying to be, you know, trying to get into, trying to seat ourselves amongst amongst the higher. The higher authority and all of this.
Epsilon,
For the higher seat, we're supposed to look for the lower seat. And if we're called
mm-hmm.
up to the higher seat, that's fine. But and I always say it's better to be ass up than to be ass down.
Yes. Come on, brother. Hallelujah.
You
better teach up in here.
For bad walk right there.
Yes, sir.
I love the way that you put that, and God really worked through you and blessed me, blessed my soul So thank you, Reverend Jones, Reverend Kelly Jones. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate that you let God use you in the way that
yes,
you do,
he did.
You know.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you, my dear brother, and I'm looking forward to hearing all that God has to say through you next Friday. Hallelujah. That was Pastor.
Amen. Amen.
That was Pastor Jeffrey Scott. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is one of the pastors at Good Shepherd in Oakland, California. Hallelujah. So I just praise God for both of these wonderful men of God that I can call my brothers, my co-laborers, and my friend, and more importantly, my family. Between the two of you, these people have got a rhema word, and this I'm on tonight, because y'all tag team teach talk tonight up in here. Hallelujah, and I just praise God. Hallelujah. I know I'm sitting up here on fire, and I just thank God, and I know that the people of God was blessed. And Reverend Jones, we have some young people that were in the chat room, and they were just making comments like they liked the way you broke it down so they could understand it. You know, so many of these preachers get the amen and the hemming and caring and all. These young people don't know what they're saying. We say we don't understand what they say when they rap. That's their way of getting back at us for when we preaching all crazy. So, you know, they just wanted to thank you.
you know, they just wanted to thank you for, you know, speaking a language that they could understand. It was clear. And you got a lot of amens, my brother. And I just praise God. My brothers and sisters, you have been listening to Every Man Standing in His Place. And tonight we were blessed with the teachings of Reverend Kelly Mark Jones, and he was joined by his brother, hallelujah, Pastor Jeffrey Scott. And I, of course, am your modern-day Shulamite woman, Apostle Sherlene Cook, and I'm so blessed that you all joined us here tonight. I pray that you continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Ministries Network on tomorrow at 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Please join our young minister, Minister Adam Tuggle, for the summit. And, of course, as always, every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, join me and the family for the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And for more information about us, who we are, and our times of airing, hallelujah, just Google us, hallelujah. So on behalf of myself, my dear brothers, we pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. You have a beautiful and blessed weekend. And from our household of faith to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night.
Transformed.
And God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. You were phenomenal, my brothers. I love you. God bless you. Good night. Hallelujah.
Good night.
Love you guys.
Love you, man.
All right. Love you too, bro. All right.